Let's see Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. And Specs, how about them savings from Specs, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Howdy, sir.
Howdy back to you.
Did you watch the Chicago fight?
No, I did not.
What the heck,
did you not send
Mick?
Him a link? Like you got to send.
I was supposed to.
All right, I'll text you. It'll be.
I got things going on here.
Yeah. Fair.
You can't go.
I got
Google
bags
stuff.
Getting packed to go back to Dallas. I got bags getting packed go to Phoenix. I got bags for today. There's a lot going on here.
And you have to ride your bicycle back, right?
Because... Well, yeah, right. I'll be like those guys from Argentina that took 3 months to ride their bike here for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. That's yes. Right. That's right. Is tomorrow your last day in Oxnard then on the way out to the preseason?
Yes, we leave here early afternoon and head to Phoenix. So this is the last full day.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. From the time you got here to right now, how much better do you think the Cowboys have gotten? Because that's the entire point of training camp, is tighten things up, see what you've got. Do you feel like you've seen a discernible difference over this period of time?
I think the difference that was most discernible was their ability to play defense, or seemingly ability to play defense. I know, you know, the scrimmages are not supposed to be tackle football, although it turned into that somewhat. And then the preseason game is the youngins or the backups, right? But from what I've seen out here and in the scrimmages, this defensive front is immeasurably better than they were last year. So that's a step in the right direction. And I see it improving day by day. When the starters are out there, they're pretty darn good against the run. There's nobody out here trying to play solo, meaning all I'm worried about is getting sacks. Christian Parker doesn't allow that. And I think that's a huge difference from maybe where they've been previously with this defense, of everybody hunting sacks, knowing that's how you get a contract. He has sold these guys on doing what you're supposed to do. And I think that was evident in both of the scrimmages so far. They did a really good job of playing the run, and not just the guys on the inside, but either your outside linebackers and you're in 3-4, or your outside defensive end if you're in a 4-2. I thought that was noticeable. The other thing that
Can we pause on that just one
yes.
second, Mickey? Because whether it's last year or the year before or the year before, honestly, it feels like a whole lot of time. If you can find one similarity with the struggling defenses, doesn't it feel like it frequently comes back to we cannot stop the run?
Yes, absolutely. Not stop the run and know your assignment. No busted coverages. No freelancing back there. And as I keep saying, no end of play with somebody with their palms up like, what the hell? And you rarely see a busted coverage. So detail and knowing what you're supposed to do. Now, having said that, it helps that you've got some salty veterans back on this defense. You're not playing with first-time starters in the NFL or first-time guys playing in the NFL like they were so many times last year, and it just seemed like the defense was lost. I think that even in the first preseason game with so many young guys and backups playing, didn't seem to be that many busted assignments. And so to me, that's a great improvement of where they finished the season last year, right? And I think it was noticeable. And again, you guys were out here. If you watch these defensive coaches teaching, they're very detailed. And I think it's starting to show on how these guys play. Offensively, I think it's, you know, more of the same, as long as that offensive line can protect Dak Prescott, as long as it can give little creases for Javonte Williams, I think the offense will be just fine.
It does feel then Like it's more group work than individual dudes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And that's what it, I mean, that's what football is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it it's the greatest team sport there is out there. Because you got to have 11 guys doing what they're supposed to do. And you can't have, and that was one of the things Christian Parker emphasized yesterday. And I talked to him when he was walking off about guys not hunting sacks. And too much of that was going on over the last couple of years. Not worried about the run. It's worried about my numbers. These guys seem to be worried about winning. And that's got to be the priority when you're playing defense.
That's for sure. I saw
you weren't referring to anybody specifically.
No,
there, right?
Not at all. No, okay. There might have been one or two guys that's sure. All they were worried about.
Mm-hmm. I saw something in the joint practice, Mickey, that I wanted to ask about yesterday, but we had run out of time. So I wanted to see if I can. I saw a couple of plays that I felt were nifty little unique plays to Ferguson. And it seemed like they got him the ball in a couple of non-traditional ways and then a couple of traditional ways as well in the red zone. Have you noticed throughout camp him getting more work or having some other plays built for him this year?
I don't know if it's different. I think what's different is their ability to maybe prolong plays so he can get down the field.
Okay.
I think one of the things I've seen, and I don't know if this is what you're talking about, you know how you normally throw little swing tackles to the running back?
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing them to him.
Okay.
Like if he starts in motion and goes around and it's not like he's just trying to draw coverage, they'll throw him the ball on some of those and allow him to run.
Okay.
And I think that was a little bit unique. But again, they weren't trying to show too much in that scrimmage, right? And they weren't trying to show too much against the Rams because they got to play them later in the, I think it's right before Christmas. They got to play them guys again. So as Schottenheimer pointed out, he goes, yeah, maybe we were using our five iron in the scrimmages. And to protect what they're showing other teams.
Yeah, I think the one I saw a little shovel pass, which I've seen the shovel pass to him before.
Right.
But seeing, you know, a little bit of that and then hearing that about the swing tackle, I like that a little more too. That's fun. I think Kevin, you and I were discussing earlier in the season, the off season, like was his production enough?
Right.
And in the end zone, we saw some touchdowns. We'd love to see a little bit more. And I think there's just other growth. I mean, I know you have a lot of weapons on this offense.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you have to utilize Ferguson on is drawing coverage off those other weapons, right? You want to make sure that if teams start saying, oh, we're going to play this cloud coverage on Pickens and Lamb, or we're going to double team and try to do both, well, then you got to have somebody else step up. And the tight end, if coverage is being drawn either by safeties or linebackers to help out on those guys underneath, it's like, well, my tight end might be one-on-one in a lot of instances, and I got to take advantage of that.
Wanted to pick your brain and get your thoughts about the camps of and how likely they are to be in the roster of Julius Wood, the safety, and then Tommy Dunn. Because I know when we talk about undrafted free agents, Michael Trigg comes up a whole lot. I don't know how much we've ever really talked about Tommy Dunn, if you have thoughts on either or both of those fellas.
Yeah, Dunn, you know, I would imagine if they're looking for some backup types at nose tackle.
Right.
He's in a battle with Jay Toya. But there's other guys that are versatile enough that, you know, they can play in there. Kelvin Gillum is another name that's kind of jumped up. And then with guys like Bullard and Agbania, those guys are big enough that, you know, you can move them inside also. And look, how many times are they going to be in nickel, right? So you don't have a true nose tackle.
Right. And 70%? Like a lot.
And that's what it was close to last year, right? It
yeah.
was right at it. So Kenny Clark, you know, he's probably not coming off the field much. Now, you want a backup there, right? Because
sure.
that's a tough position. You get hit every play. So, you know, one of those guys probably makes the team. I think the last two preseason games will go a long ways toward maybe you know, deciding which one of those guys you keep on the defensive front. But again, you've got a lot of choices, and you got a lot of kind of defensive ends who can play tackle. I think Malachi Lawrence fits that bill. I mean, he can play inside if that's what you need in a pass rush situation. So, I think the versatility here might draw you away from traditional position, right?
Oh, okay.
A traditional nose tackle. It's like, well, I've got this defensive tackle who can play inside. And so the versatility, I think, will be the determining factor on this roster.
Which, again, Kevin, that comes down to that was an intentional thing by
for
the
sure.
whole staff and
for
the
sure.
and the guys that went and got the free agents this offseason as well.
Right,
Mickey,
exactly.
This, I think one of the discussions we've had frequently is, and we keep having it, how are the Cowboys this weekend and in the final preseason game going to create enough of an opportunity for guys like Blue and Mafa to be able to show what they have?
Yeah, and for Blue, he got hurt early, a little shoulder. Well, he had the little shoulder thing going. He had an early carry, a really nice run, and then they pulled him out. So
okay.
We'll see how much he, if indeed he works any today. And I'm guessing if he doesn't, he probably not playing on Saturday. So,
how much would that hurt him with this this thing?
As long as he can run a 4.28, he ain't hurt.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I mean, just from making the team, I just think they need that dimension. You know, you're not looking at him as a guy that's going to carry the ball 20 times a game if something happens to Javonte Williams. That's what the third guy's got to be. He's got to be, to me, the spot guy that when I put him on the field, the other team's going, oh, okay, we got to know where 23 is, right? And I think that's his job, to give them a dimension at running back that they don't have with anybody else.
So you think that he, no matter what, he's got this spot?
I think
okay.
so now. All I right. could be wrong, but that's kind of my thinking. And then, you know, Malik Davis, Mafa, and Izzy, I think those guys are battling for maybe the third running back spot.
Okay, well, with that in mind, like, let's just say for clarification or simplification, we just count Hunter Lipke as a running back so we can just make this conversation easier. Would you rather than at this point carry five running backs for this team or six wide receivers?
I would say at this point Lipke is I don't even know if you call him a running back.
Yeah,
right?
just a
he's the jack of all
for
trades.
Sure, for
and
sure.
And special teams, too,
right,
by the way.
Right,
So three running backs, Lipke, and then I think I don't know where you would go short or skimp from if you kept six wide receivers. But right now I think it's a possibility if Cam Brown continues to be consistent. And if one of the other guys, like Mingo,
yes,
you know,
you just named
Mark
the two.
Yeah.
No,
right?
you named the two that I would push it out to six for in Camden and Mingo, and that's why I wanted to get your thoughts.
And here's
about that.
And here's the deal with Brown is he got exposed, so there's no way at this point. Although. And I always say this, oh, boy, you can't get him through waivers and get him on the practice squad, right? Well, every team has a guy like that.
Yes,
right? And I'm sure the Chicago Bears are saying, well, I don't know what we're going to do with this sixth wide receiver. Do I keep him? I know everybody's got that guy. So it's a little bit touchy on making that decision. Can I get him through waivers and put him on the practice squad? Or do I keep him on the 53 and then eventually put him on the practice squad? That way, if someone picks him up, they got to put him on their 53.
Yeah. Excellent insight. As always, good sir. We will catch you again tomorrow.
We'll say goodbye together to Oxnard, California.
Mm. It will be emotional to be sure. And I'll send
yes.
you a link to that fight.
Yes, let me see it.
Okay, I will do that. All right, there you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece coming up next. From the mind of Corey Majors.
You're welcome.
If the Dallas Cowboys defense fails this season, why do you think that will be?
Dang it.
Plus, Masterpiece Theater, the fictitious couple you most rooted against, all part of a jam-packed expressway, next on The Fan.
And on second down, it's a quarterback keep up the middle, and he broke a tackle and dives into the end zone. Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We will get to our Masterpiece Theater, and you can go ahead and let us know what you think. What is the fictitious couple that you actively rooted the most against and did not want to get together? But we will start with the Dallas Cowboys and an intriguing query from one Corey Majors. If the Dallas Cowboys defense fails this season, why do you think that will be? Since you have come up with this excellent question, would you like to start?
Yes, and it's changed a couple of different times, but you never get stability at cornerback, I think, is going to be the one. Now, here's what's crazy is I think you have the potential of having a handful of very tough cornerbacks. I think Revel's going to be tough, dude. I think he's going to play with the physical style that he knows, that we saw him play with whenever he was in college, but he wasn't able to pull off early. And Kevin, I'm sure if we asked him if he embarrassed himself a couple times last year, he'd say absolutely.
Mm.
And I think he'd also say, I also wasn't ready. You know, like I missed a whole training camp. I missed most of the season. And then I was asked to go out there and play against NFL players without my legs under me. I think that, like, he would admit all those things, and we saw it, you know? We saw it initially. So I think Durant's going to be tough. I think that I'm curious about Bland's complete health, and is he that dude that he's been in the past? And also, is he going to be a guy who's ball hawking or can be a shutdown corner? Can he be both?
Oh my gosh.
And so there's a lot of questions I still have there, but ultimately last year, huge reason that it all fell apart was the secondary. I think they have answers whenever they went and made, dude, here's what's fascinating to me, Alec, for I feel like 15 years now, we've said the weakness on this team is safety and defensive tackle. And now we have a gluttony of safety and defensive tackle play. And so I think I feel good up the middle, still kind of curious. My other answer would be the linebacker spot. But defensively, if they can't be better in the secondary or stable in the secondary, that's going to be the downfall of this team.
I think you will notice a trend in some of my answers because I do not disagree with that at all. So I wrote down four things or typed in. Do you want me to give all four?
I mean,
or go back and forth.
Give one.
Okay.
And then allow Alec to have a voice.
All right.
Or just shut him down. It's up to you, dude. It's your show.
Yeah, you know, I heard he's having tough times on TikTok, so we'll go to him. Point number one. I didn't say what
when
they
your
were.
Friends make jokes about your love for single moms, TikTok hears it. That's all I'm saying.
That's
scary.
True. Plus, he goes to a site called Thanks for the Mammaries. All right, so
gosh.
Number one,
that show Cougar Town.
Caleb Downs.
What are you doing?
Man, I'm gonna go watch that show, see if there's an Alec-esque character in there. All right, point one: Caleb Downs isn't immediately Superman. Because, and I do think he's going to be very good, but man, the level of expectation, it feels like at this point, if he was runner-up for Defensive Rookie of the Year, we'd be like, he sucks. You know, like, the level of expectation has gotten so high, but the great thing is, you hear so many people, either on the team or on the coaching staff, is like, it's not high enough, which is awesome, but if the Dallas Cowboys defense fails this season, I'm going to give you two if that's okay, because they kind of work
it
in
all on Caleb
cooperation.
Downs.
No, I told you I have 4 points.
Oh, okay.
Caleb Downs is an immediately Superman, and then to what you were saying, Daron Bland's foot is still a nightmare when it comes to actually playing games. Yeah. So both of those kind of based in the secondary world, I think could be big reasons if their defense fails.
Okay, so we all, both of us so far, have mentioned the secondary. Okay. Even though my biggest fear for this team still is the middle linebacker spot. That's my biggest, like, if I was going to make an addition, I'd probably make it there.
Look.
But I want, but I would also want to bolster the secondary for security purposes. Okay.
The, my other 2 points will hit the other levels of the defense, but we go to Mr. Medford. Is there a trend or specific thing that if this defense fails this year, you think this will be one of the root causes?
I think it'll be secondary, which I hate to say, knowing how much we just invested into safety specifically. But again, you're banking on a healthy Deron Bland, which if he's healthy, your secondary's going to be fine for the most part. Because he's very clean. He's very technically sound. And I feel like he is one of those guys, like we're hoping with Von Miller, that makes people around him better. You know, whether it's just sharing his knowledge, sharing his instincts with other people. But you already saw it in the first preseason game. The communication on the back end was already incredible in preseason game number one. And with Revel, there was even a play. I forget who was playing safety at the time. It wasn't Downs, but he noticed a motion in the opening formation for the Seahawks. And he pointed out to Revel and he was like, "You stay on the boundary. I got this quarter of the field." The ball ended up getting thrown to Revel and he broke up the pass.
Yeah.
So like the communication is there for the secondary. You just need everybody to be on the field. So I think it comes down to health in the secondary.
That has been a something we've seen in practices. We've seen so much of it and we've heard so much of it, right? The discussion every time we talk about the defense, every person we've talked to is, I mean, have you heard how loud that defensive room is?
Right.
Like that, and that's a real thing because knowing what your responsibility is, if you don't, is important.
Now,
can I throw something in? Somebody texted this in and said, what if Christian Parker isn't that dude? Or if there's a learning curve.
Fair.
Which is why I'm giving them 8 games. I'm not reacting, at least for the first 3 games, about this defense.
Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be, you're going to have to see it in real time. Either way, good or bad, I'm not going to react. Because 3 games in, now teams have film on you. All right.
Yeah.
So in 3 games in, maybe you weren't at your best yet. So I want to see what it is after 3 games.
I definitely think that is fair. Now, I'm going to throw this one in there. You're kind of looking at the middle level of the defense. DeMarvion Overshown misses more than 3 or 4 games.
Because do you have faith in Barron?
Not at that level. No.
Do you have faith?
I don't even know if he's going to make this team.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Who's the backup for your middle linebackers?
Yeah, and so
Barham's in that conversation.
I think he is because of his versatility. Like he's going to make the team either way.
Yeah.
But I think because of his versatility, that might well be the case. And I also wonder, you know, since they're probably going to be running out of nickel so freaking much. I mean, are they just going to go with Shamar James then? Are we going to be playing some linebacker musical chairs and running Barham next to Winters?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're dead on, which is why certain names of certain linebackers continue to percolate in my mind.
Right, absolutely. And then Otito Obonya isn't effective, but that is how you say his last name, if people are curious.
That's your other defensive end.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle
yes,
end.
Yes, yes.
In a 3-4.
I like that.
Yeah.
Defense. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we have moved, not to positionless football, but we've essentially kind of moved really hard into that direction because your base defense is not really your base defense anymore.
If I'm going to describe it, you have 2 outside linebackers, right and left outside linebacker, 2 middle linebackers, 1 defensive tackle, and 2 defensive ends. Like, that's how I would look at it.
Correct.
In a 3-4.
Which is weird because, like, if you think of a traditional defensive end, that is not what I'm thinking that the job of Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark is going to be at all.
No, they look different. You need to be bigger bodies, though, to play in a 3-4.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, Bill Parcells changed this defense immediately and said, we need Marcus Spears because we need that size. We need a Canty because we need that size if they're going to play defensive end because they have to play light defensive tackles. They're going to take on double teams because you don't have a 4-man front. But then you slide and now all of a sudden the right linebacker comes in, and now your defensive end is a defensive tackle.
Exactly. And Obonya is going to be very important to this, because it does feel like, while we are all caught up with defensive linemen 1 and 2, that everyone feels pretty good about Otito. And then the issue is the drop after that. Because, like, again, even if we shift some spots around, Overton's not going to be there yet. Bullard has been hurt. I like Dunn, but once again, if it's too early for Overton, it's probably going to be too early for Dunn if you have to thrust him into that spot. And I don't even know if he makes this team. And so I think Otito Obonya not being effective could be another reason if this defense fails.
Kevin, was this segment if the Cowboys' defense fails?
Correct.
So whenever the offense... Do we have answers there?
You know what? So that, you know, that's a great point, because I did focus mostly specifically on scheme and defensive personnel, but you could make that really strong argument that two things immediately come to mind. If the Cowboys offense turns the ball over a lot, and then the other thing is if they kick field goals a lot.
Interesting. So, because you didn't say the tackles.
Right.
Because they proved they could be successful last year despite their tackles.
Yeah, I think
they were successful last year for the most part.
Yeah,
not successful enough to drag a bad defense, a historically bad defense.
Yes.
With them, but
right.
They were still capable. So while these tackles are a concern for us, it's not like we think it's the end of the world if they can't be better.
Unless you think that's baked into the cake of if you turn over the ball a lot. Because maybe, let's face it, like, interceptions aside, I get that. A lot of the forced fumbles or whatever, I feel like a lot of people will blame on the tackles because mm-hmm. they came from pressure and stuff like that. So I think if you turn the ball over a lot offensively, or if you just end up kicking field goals, because if you get into a game, let's say you're playing a team and they're winning 20-12, mm-hmm. or maybe 21-12, and you have gotten into the red zone against them 4 times. You've ended up kicking a field goal every single time. Now, depending on where you are in the game, maybe the other team's just going to try to salt the game away, or maybe they're going to go for the death blow because they're like, this team can't score an effing touchdown, let alone 2 against us. Let's open it up just a little bit more and see if we cannot, like, play to not lose. Let's play to win right now, and then you could be more aggressive against your defense, and that could theoretically work against them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that... This is, I think the defense was the main focus of building and fixing and creating and changing this offseason.
For sure.
I give the Joneses credit for, I know they had to do it again. They went from Zimmer to Eberflus, and then they said, okay, we have to do something. But they went and got a defense that is current, that's modern, that's not historic, not dinosaurastic. And then they went and got players that are current and modern and fit in this defense.
Yeah.
They didn't go get dudes. I mean, Von Miller is the only one. But Rashawn Gary's not aged out of the NFL. Jalen Thompson's not aged out of the NFL.
We're going to do that segment as we get closer to the season. Which Cowboy are you unreasonably high and unreasonably low on?
Probably Gary.
I think Rashawn Gary is somebody I'm unreasonably high on, because people were like, oh, what a stupid trade. He was going to get cut. And you're like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably. And maybe you gave up a round higher than you should have. But, man, the way he talks... I'm pretty amped up for him this season.
Michael Parsons.
From the
not Michael Parsons.
The 817, Otito sounds like a vodka drink. And I think you're correct on that.
Yeah, and then Obonya sounds like it would replace RJ's Blue Chew reads, right? Like, not that that would ever happen, but we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's fire up a little Masterpiece Theater. So the question today spawns off a conversation that the brilliant Alec Medford came up with.
Oh, no.
Of which, you guys are really carrying this expressway. So which couple, fictitious couple, were you rooting for? And again, we tease in a couple weeks, maybe next week, who's the Cowboy you're unreasonably high on and unreasonably low on. So now it's time for the flip side of that conversation. Masterpiece Theater, what's the fictitious couple you most rooted against and didn't want to get together? That is what we are interested in. And today, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation. And, from the 817, Buzz Lightyear and Little Bo Peep. Bo Peep was with Woody.
Yeah, but wasn't there a time when he was like the Spanish flamenco dancer?
Yeah, but then he went for Jesse.
Yeah.
Who...
It's fine, but was it early on in the first movie?
It would have had to been in the first
one. With Bo Peep, where that's where Woody got jealous.
Yeah.
And so I think this is where they're like, I was rooting against that, even though it never happened. I didn't want them to be together because that was Woody's side piece or whatever.
And I don't know.
Main squeeze. Saturday Night Girl.
I don't know. That is different. And I don't know if you get this kind of commentary about the Toy Story movies often, but Woody was a jealous bitch, man.
That's true. That is true.
He really,
very insecure.
Really was. Have you ever heard that commentary for the Toy Story series?
I've heard that about many people, let alone an animated toy.
Do you think I'm wrong about that?
Not wrong.
Oh.
But Woody's my guy!
He wanted to be the leader, but didn't believe he was the leader they deserved at all times, so that he was insecure about it all the time.
Ooh, this is a good one from the 214. Kermit and Miss Piggy. She is so mean to him. I know a couple like that in real life, where the guy is just the nicest person in the world. And
do you know a couple
really
where the woman's really, really mean, but the guy's also a jerk? And so they just kind of... go together?
No, but that would make more sense to me. Because I was like, he's awful, you're awful. It clicks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
That's why they're always trying to scheme up something, you know, like stopping Bullwinkle from getting whatever he wants or whatever.
Right. From the 214, Glenn and Maggie. Glenn got too soft after getting with Maggie. And then his head got really soft, right?
Glenn. Oh, dude. Yeah. Negan smashed his head in with Lucille.
Yeah. Oh, it's too soon?
No, it's not.
It just replays in my head every time. And I was a child when that happened. That scarred me.
I knew it was on the way. I had seen it in the graphic novel. And I was like, dude, this is about to happen. Like, Kevin, the image that they did on the television was almost exactly like it looked in the graphic novel.
And I was good with that. It was the stupid, like... Several episodes before, because I know they carried it over to the next season, where he like fell off a wall or a trash can and there were 25 zombies on top of him. And then later he's like, I'm okay, everybody. And you're like, hold on.
You made it out, man.
That feels like that goes against the logic of everything I've learned in this show. From the 817, Ross and Rachel. But they said that's because they wanted Jennifer Aniston to themselves.
Fact.
From the 321, I rooted against Cersei and Jaime Lannister because that's disgusting. And
dude, that's a fact, too.
That is a fact. From the 903, Veronica Mars and Duncan Kane. I have to admit, I am not familiar with that show.
I mean,
I know it's from Veronica Mars, but I don't know that show.
All right. So, Kevin, based on House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones,
right?
There's a lot of incest going on. How much incest historically do you think there has been that created this world? Because we all came from Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah, and if you think about that, it was it.
Yeah.
It was those two people.
And they had two sons.
Well, they had other kids. That's the only way. You didn't start with two couples.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the human race is based on incest.
Essentially.
It is.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of curious.
You don't have to drop the music for that. It is.
I think the music
naturally,
like that was just a moment.
Thanks a lot, Masterpiece Theater Bed. It is. All right. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there because as I said with Rose the other day, I also think that this gal here is one of the biggest villains in the last 35 years of motion pictures. Give me cut number 8. I actively rooted against this couple.
Will you marry me? I'd make a good husband, Jenny.
You would, Forrest.
But you won't marry me.
You don't want to marry me.
True.
Why don't you love me, Jenny? I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
So
Tom Hanks absolutely delivering.
Yeah, he went back to that was his second straight Oscar for that. having won for Philadelphia the year before. So Jenny ditches Forrest Gump, I don't know, like 8 million different times, whether it's to, you know, become a drug addict, get a, well, I probably shouldn't say that.
Well, she wanted to be a bird so she could fly far, far, far away from there.
Which, that was touching. I'll fly far, far away from here.
God, make me a bird.
Yeah, but then it was so she became a junkie and, you know, a Saturday night gal, we'll say.
And a crunchy hippie.
Yeah, and so they have all these reunitings only for her to ditch him time and time again. And then when she's strung out, broken down, and has AIDS, she's like, you know what? All right, Forrest, let's do this. Mm-hmm. She sucks.
Yeah. You know how women are.
I don't know if that is fair, PJ.
She may have given two people AIDS.
Oh, Haley Joel Osment.
Forrest and that child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did she ever think about that? No, she always thought about herself.
Exactly. But she was smart.
Selfish.
Or the kid was smart.
Yeah.
She was the worst. All right. Gentlemen, would you like to go? Or would you like me to go back to the fan text?
Pairing that I never wanted to see get together, French fries and milkshakes. I just don't understand dipping your French fry in a milkshake.
A fictitious romantic couple.
This should be fictitious. And everybody's romantic about it. They're all like, oh, it tastes so good. And I will not dip my fries in my Wendy's thing.
So to the fan text it is.
No, I got
okay.
You.
Okay.
Play my music, Alec. Cut 20 or cut 9.
What?
Kevin.
I don't know. This
I don't know how many people remember this theme song. This is from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Now, many years and many seasons into Buffy, she hooked up with Spike. All right. Now, Buffy was always intended to be with Angel. All right. Everybody knew this. And her little sidekick, Xander, who ended up hooking up with the girl from American Pie who did the thing with the clarinet.
Allison Hannigan?
Yeah. He always loved Buffy, too. But here's the deal. Good guys, right? Angel. His name's Angel, right? And Xander. Good dudes. Mm. Buffy didn't care. Mm. She wanted the bad boy. And I was always the good guy. And I was like, why do you want the bad boy? He's just going to screw things up for you. You're going to have a bad relationship.
Yeah.
And so I never understood why she wanted the bad boy all the time.
Okay.
And it really drove me nuts, and I rooted against him. And I don't know exactly what happened because I quit watching.
Okay, I was going to ask, is this a show I should watch?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah.
From like the late 90s?
I never saw it.
Yes.
Okay.
Sarah Michelle Gellar at her peak, dude.
Mm.
This was whenever, like,
geek acting ability.
I had seen her in All My Children and was like, huh.
Oh.
She wasn't, yeah, there was a soap opera that John Oliver would have loved to have been on. And I was like, man, she's, you know what I'm saying?
I do. From the
and a good actress.
From the 405, Joey and Rachel from Friends. What was that?
They didn't have anything. They were like, what are we going to do? Before we end this, people kept showing money to the writers and to the actors. And Joey had nothing else in life. You know, he was like, what am I going to do?
So
my own sitcom?
So I'm not going to lie. I didn't think his sitcom was that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Do you think they really thought, well, they're not coming back for another season? They did. And they're like, oh, my God. Put them together.
They're like, let's see if we can. We need conflict, guys. We need conflict. Just if that's the case,
the worst.
Go back to
it.
Ugly Naked Guy.
Yeah.
You know, find some other things.
Oh, he died.
Find a new Ugly Naked Guy.
That should be achievable enough. That was also, if it wasn't Forrest Gump and Jenny, my other options were Rachel and Joey or Rose and Jack, as we went over those reasons yesterday, why Rose is just the absolute worst as well. Alec.
214 wasn't Angel a vampire. Buffy shouldn't have gotten in with him because she's a vampire slayer. Spike was too. Spike was also a vampire.
Oh.
So she just loved the, and from the 903, yes, Corey's 100% right about Buffy and Spike.
Interesting. From the 682, the two cowboys from Brokeback Mountain. Here's what that movie is vastly overrated.
It's just about love and sex.
It's just about sex. That movie is vastly overrated. I appreciate it. In the 60s, it was tough to be gay, let alone a gay cowboy. But they talk about these two like they had some epic romance when really you just see them staring at each other when you get the little guitar going. And I'm like, what conversation have you two had? What series of conversations and moments have you had besides riding horses together and think we should hook up? The romance of that movie is vastly overrated. It felt like a sexual relationship, and that's just about it.
Sin.
Now, with that, no.
Sex can be sins
that
without
is
a marriage.
True, but I'm not even talking about that aspect of it. I'm just saying they did not seem to have any real emotional connection for
but
me.
He couldn't quit him, he said.
Yeah, that's great, because he wanted to keep banging him, not because they had epic conversations and activities together. Now, with that in mind, Alec, it's your turn.
Gee, thanks.
Sorry about that.
I'm questioning if I can replay some of that tomorrow.
I stand by that. I really wanted the movie to be good, and it's a solid movie, but when people were like, oh, it should have won Best Picture, it's amazing, I disagree.
A couple people have said, somebody said the love triangle in Pearl Harbor, and then somebody said that two-timing B in Pearl Harbor.
Woo!
Jeez.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
Oh, man. So I think my popular one would be any of the original MJs from Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more of a Gwen guy myself.
Yeah.
Just when it comes to the storytelling aspect, I felt like until the Tom Holland Spider-Mans, MJ didn't really have much of a likable substance to her.
Right.
For me, at least. I don't know why. I can't even explain it. I just wanted Gwen instead. But this one's for you, Kevin. Specifically, this is such a niche thing that I hope you can appreciate. I'm going to take you to, I believe it is season 4 of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Ahsoka and Lux Bonteri.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that pairing so much because Lux was such a little rat that was just using her to try to get intel the whole time, and she ended up finding that out. But they kissed and everything. I'm like, you're a Jedi. I understand that your master is breaking all the rules. Anakin has fallen in love and everything.
Right.
That doesn't mean you have to do the same with a dude that's a little weasel just trying to get information to overthrow your own group of people. So that made me mad because I was like, I'm already dealing with Anakin running away and hiding the fact that he's human and has emotions. Ahsoka, you're not even human. What are we doing?
That is a good point. There are some great couples in Rebels, though.
True.
But to your point on that, also,
I'm never going to get over that line, dude. I'm never going to get over what you said today.
About the 60s?
The 60s of being a cowboy.
I can appreciate that. For the person who said, why are you only going after the women? I feel like I just...
Another person
didn't find the connection with either two of those men.
Another person texted in and said the Pearl Harbor girl was the worst. That was Kate Beckinsale, too. And that's
so
tough because I'm in love with her.
Was she two-timing with Hartnett and Affleck?
Yeah. I think they were like best friends or brothers or something.
Oh, not cool.
Yeah, so that's weird.
It's been a... That movie was like 3 hours long, and I didn't think it was that good.
So if you... All right, I got a question. Would they be cousin brothers? If she had a child,
I believe you mean Eskimo.
If she had two childs with each brother, they would be cousins, but also brothers.
If those two were brothers, yes, that's right.
Isn't that wild?
You would just tell people brother, right?
I'd say cousin brother.
Okay, well then you better be ready to have a lot of conversations.
I want
to
be factually correct so they understand what we're dealing with here.
Well then you better be ready to have a lot of conversations.
This is tighter family than ever, all right?
Okay.
Water's deep, but blood runs thick.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and I feel like...
Let's give something away!
877-881-1053. This is your reward for having to endure that. Right now, caller number 10 will win a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Rangers play the Angels on Saturday. These tickets are courtesy of Rangers.com. You can buy tickets from there right now, or you can win them for free. 877-881-1053. Coming up next, it's the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Good luck with that, man.
Thanks.